Chapter 3. Persuading the Mind. Nothing strengthens authority so much as silence. Leonardo da Vinci, 1452-1519. The Sacred Contract. It is important to state that there is no right order in the task of persuasion. For health to be achieved and then sustained, mind, body, and spirit must all have their needs met equally, and the necessary adjustments must be made to the environment to facilitate and maintain the sacred contract between the three. Remember that until the needs of each are adequately met, they will continue to compete rather than collaborate, as each will act in its own self-interest. This is why persuading all three to move towards synergy, their natural and optimal position, is the answer. So how do we persuade the mind? As previously stated, the mind is magical, mysterious, and awesomely powerful. It needs a diet of positive, self-nurturing activities to fulfill its potential. It also needs a clear mission statement. The mind abhors confusion as it stifles its potential and obscures its purpose. As you become more familiar with the story of health, it will become increasingly clear that although I speak of the mind and spirit in separate and distinct ways, they are closely and intimately linked. What affects one undoubtedly affects the other. What is true for one is, albeit in a subtly different way, true for the other one too. For example, take my earlier description of the spirit in relation to forgiveness and gratitude. It could appear contradictory to say the mind also needs this activity to create an energetic shift, but it does. The mind needs forgiveness and gratitude too, because anything that hurts the spirit blocks the pathways of consciousness. In other words, the mind cannot actualize its potential when a lack of forgiveness leads to it operating from a place of deficiency. As soon as a journey of forgiveness is embarked upon, both spirit and mind become free, and of course the body too. The mind is the aspect of the self that drives one's energy and potential, always striving to reach the highest point. It is also that aspect of the self that, when not positively fed or is bound by toxic influences, can hold the rest of the self hostage, which in turn brings the spirit to its knees. The spirit, on the other hand, is the experiencer, that aspect that absorbs life and adjusts itself accordingly. It is left with the net result of its experiences. And depending on the internal position it holds, it is either able to transcend those experiences or, unfortunately, become subordinate to them. The mind is critical in assisting the spirit, which is why it is difficult to talk about the one without referring to the other. I will explore the anatomy of consciousness further in Chapter 7. There are many areas of overlap in the mind-body-spirit-environment system. It is in fact somewhat artificial to speak about the four aspects as if each occupies its own compartment, as they are naturally interconnected and there is also some degree of duplication. However, in the disease state, they strive for autonomy and act out as individual forces. But in spite of their connectedness, it is helpful to understand their individual characteristics, for this does help us to discover and highlight what links them so intrinsically. It also offers us insight into their needs and helps us to better meet them, which is how health and well-being are achieved. So now we understand that forgiveness and the pursuit of gratitude are also essential to the elevation of the mind in order that the streams of consciousness can flow unhindered. Let's look at what else is pivotal to ensuring the mind becomes and remains an ally to our cause. The value of silence. Meditation or stillness and solitude of some kind are imperative not only to ensure growth, but more importantly, to make contact with one's essence, one's true self. This is another place where a deep, subtle connection between mind and spirit exists. It's essential for the spirit to remain true to itself, which I call honoring the heart. But this is best facilitated via the mind. By taking the mind down a path of introspection, reflection, and contemplation, spirit moves closer to the truth about itself and what's really important. This is one of the reasons meditation or some other introspective activity is vital for the mind to help the spirit realize its potential and find its purpose. It is the silence that comes through stillness and the inward lookingness of these activities that feeds the mind. The hyperactivity of the mind, which has tremendous value when channeled, is counterproductive to growth if there is never any respite from it. The mind is an incredible energy system, and although for the creative process to take place, there needs to be intense periods of combustion in order that this combustion isn't rapidly followed by exhaustion, energy conservation is vital. Hence the need for meditation, still time, prayer, or some other introspective practice. If you are interested in pursuing introspective practices, you are spoilt for choice. There is a vast array in the area of meditation alone. There is now also a rapidly growing movement under the banner of mindfulness. Both these activities have been around for thousands of years, although they have been in some cases modernized. I would also encourage practices such as still time, creative visualization, invocation, and prayer, subject to your faith. For more suggestions, see www.thereachapproach.co.uk and take a look at the Healing Habits and Resources pages. Whatever you choose, a good place to start is simply practicing listening in. The following extract and subsequent exercise will help you to practice this beautiful art. Listening in. The journey of personal growth depends on listening. Listening is the critical ingredient in the positive change process. Without it, we simply remain stuck in the very things we are desperate to leave behind. If, despite your best efforts, you keep going round the same loop and continue to be bullied by old familiar habits, patterns, and moods, then there is something missing. There is something you haven't seen, heard, or understood, and until you find out what that is, you will remain frustrated and trapped. It's generally at this point we look to blame other things or people for our predicament, but the truth is usually found in the mirror, that is, in you. Although you may find some temporary comfort and relief in the game of blame, all you really achieve is inertia, as you are unable to move away from all that holds you back. Blame is a mirage that promises you much, but in the end provides you with an illusion, because none of your answers and solutions will ever be found in that place. Look closely at your life and be really honest with yourself, and you'll see blame as an excuse that distracts you from the real problem, which lives within you. You will find under closer scrutiny that the real problem lies somewhere in your shame, fear, doubt, anger, guilt, pain, and resentment. In order to respond to what's really going on and discover what's missing, the journey needs to begin with listening. Sadly, this is a journey few have taken. Ask yourself this question: am I really listening or simply waiting to speak? If you're honest, far too often you're simply waiting to speak. You're waiting for your turn because it's when you next speak. They are bound to understand that you're indeed right. If you look even closer, you'll begin to see that most of your conversations are actually with your own assumptions and projections. You're not even able to hear the other person because you're too busy listening to your own internal dialogue. It's this absence of listening that most keeps you stuck. Not only do you not hear what's being offered from the outside world, but even worse, you are unable to hear the whisperings of your own heart. This waiting to speak is a destructive habit that is largely a defense mechanism. It's either driven by your desperation to be right or your fear of being found out. Essentially, it is about fear and shame. Listening in requires finding time regularly to sit in solitude. Even 5 or 10 minutes will do, but it must be regular. Otherwise, you simply won't develop the rapport with yourself. Listening to what is going on in your inner world, then decoding and understanding its many messages, takes time. So sit often, but without expectation. This is critical. Listening has no expectation. It's too busy absorbing what it can hear, even if it's only silence. For it knows even silence has a language all of its own. The more you practice sitting and listening to your mind, heart, and body, the more you will make conscious contact with yourself. When there is conscious contact, your body will tell you what its needs are. In fact, it's doing this all the time, but if you check carefully, you'll find that you're rarely paying attention. And yet the body continues to patiently work in your best interests. If you could hear your body's cries, you would support it and work with it rather than against it. Your heart, feelings, offers an unlimited set of insights and knowing beyond the limitations of logic, and yet you ignore its cries too. Your heart is your best internal guidance system. It's like a compass pointing you in the right direction, but without learning to listen, you'll rarely hear what it advises. The mind is a powerhouse of potential and opportunity. It hungrily feeds off knowledge in an attempt to fuel its hopes and endeavors. The mind is, as I've said, a magician ready to disclose its secrets, but without the practice of listening in, we become confused, because we don't know which of our thoughts to trust. But if you sit still and really connect to the moment, your heart will reveal its secrets to you.